New Armies, Lost Brothers. I played many, many games of regicide with Malkador. I grew bored of the game itself, but that swiftly became only a framework in which the new contest would play itself out. The Sigilite attempting to penetrate my thoughts, and me trying to stop him. It took some time, but in the end I was able to almost completely block him out, and therefore regularly win our games. The rest of my time I devoted to learning, both about myself and about the world my father and Malkador had created. Both were spectacular. No one in recorded history had ever managed to unify Terra. My father, the Emperor, had done so by means of the Thunder Warriors, genetically enhanced soldiers who had crushed resistance wherever they had faced it, and in so doing had opened many other avenues for diplomacy. The threat of force could be enough to avoid conflict, but only so long as the threat was perceived as genuine. The raising of one city-state might encourage a whole host of others to fall into line. Terra was still not perhaps as truly unified as the official proclamations made out, but the rightful dominance of the Imperium of Man was unchallenged by any, except the most deluded or fanatical. And as for genetically enhanced, I was astonished by what I learned of myself. I do not know the processes used to create me. I did, however, measure myself in all ways I could against any information I could find, and discovered that I was superlative in every respect. Although still young by any standard, I was easily the size of a large human, and my growth showed no signs of slowing. My intellectual capacity defied any means of measurement or classification. My strength, my speed, my reflexes, my resilience, all surpassed any recorded human norms by a margin that was so huge as to be nearly incalculable. This was not arrogance. This was fact. I should have been impossible. This spoke volumes of my father's abilities. It was night when the Emperor called on me. I had seen him, and we had spoken since he'd found me, it's true, but Malkador had been my more frequent tutor. "Come with me," my father said, passing me a hooded robe. I put it on immediately and drew the hood up to hide my face. There was not necessarily any obvious reason to do so. My face could not be recognized, since it had not been seen, but there was logic to everything my father did. If he had brought me a hooded robe, knowing my physiology was immune to even the freezing winds this high in the Himalaya, then it was not for my warmth.
"Malkador tells me you have made significant progress with your studies," he said, as we left my quarters and began to walk through the Imperial Palace. It was still not complete, not fully, but it functioned as my father intended it to. He could rule from here, and it was a symbol and a beacon to the entire planet.
"I like to think so," I replied.
"Good," my father said. "That is important. What I am going to show you tonight is something about which you should know, but I cannot allow the information to fall into the wrong hands."
"And what are the wrong hands?" I asked.
"Anyone whom I have not told you may know of it," my father replied, which was an immediately obvious answer, yet not informative. It would surely make little difference if any individual petitioner or pilgrim learned of what I was to see tonight. It was who word might reach when they talked of it that doubtless concerned my father, some hostile actor who may yet spoil his plans. I simply nodded. If he would not share that information with me, I would find it out myself. After all, my purpose was to safeguard what the Emperor and Malkador had built. We passed through the palace and then beneath it. We walked through great caverns that had been given over to row after row of humans, bent over workstations. I did not look closely, but it appeared to be biology-based, possibly some form of genetics-related work. They looked up in awe as we walked past, and I could see my father's radiance reflected in their eyes, at least until they remembered themselves and went back to their tasks. I did not use my gift. Either my father did not know of it, or he thought it unnecessary. In either case, he would have done whatever he thought appropriate for his purposes. I could understand the simple disguise I had been given. who would look twice at this hooded figure next to the glowing glory of the Master of Mankind? In the last deepest cavern, Malkador waited for us. The Sigilite stood, hooded and cloaked, much as I was, but leaning on his staff. No one else was present, but I could smell the odours of the humans who had until recently been working here. I could smell other things as well. The sharp static of electricity, the mineral tang of unguents, and, faint but everywhere, a scent that was human and yet not. The cavern was filled with cylindrical chambers, many hundreds, perhaps several thousands. They hummed as they drew down electrical power. I looked at my father and at Malkador. Neither moved or gave me any instruction. So I walked forwards and looked through the transparent observation window of the closest chamber. It was human, and yet not. He was overlarge, and the shape of his body was different, too bulky around the chest, and the shape of his ribs beneath his skin, for he was naked, was wrong. As I looked closer, I could determine other anatomical differences as well, and scars from various invasive surgeries. "This is not a thunder warrior," I said. That had been my first thought, but one I immediately realised was incorrect. The Thunder Warriors had not been engaged in any actions recently, so perhaps their numbers had fallen and needed replenishing. But Thunder Warriors were no great secret, and this man's anatomy did not match what I had learned of them.
"He is not," my father conceded.
"They are replacements," I concluded, stepping back and casting my eyes over the cavern. "An improvement. The next step?"
"An improvement and a compromise," my father said. "The next step, and yet a pale imitation."
I frowned. "I don't understand."
"The Thunder Warriors have had their day," the Emperor said. "These are the Legiones Astartes, the final chapter in the work of Amar Astarte, my foremost geneticist."
I noted that Astarte was not here. Was that because she was not to know about me, or that she was not to know about this cavern? My father had declared this to be the final chapter of her work, after all. Perhaps she, too, had had her day.
"This was not her greatest work with me, however," my father continued. He laid his hand on my shoulder. "You were that. You and the others like you."
Malkador's eyes were on me, as sharp as scalpels. He had spent much time attempting to penetrate my mind and read my thoughts or my mood, but he had not given as much attention to disguising his own. I was no psyker to pluck the thoughts from his brain, but even swathed in his cloak I could read his body language. Malkador did not know how I was going to react to my father's words, and he was afraid. I noted that and contemplated it, even as I was comprehending exactly what it was I had just been told. "Thank you, Malkador, for teaching me how to hold multiple thoughts in my head at once, so I could present whichever I chose to the outside world and bury the others within."
"There are others like me?"
I asked my father incredulously.
It was impossible enough. For him to have created more was a true insight into the level of his wisdom, knowledge, and power.
Did Malkador fear my ego would not bear the shock of learning I was not unique, or did he have some other reason for unease?
"There were 19 others," my father said softly, sadly. "They were like you in that they were created by my hands, using the same processes. But you were not identical. You would have all stood at my side as I reunited the galaxy and brought humanity into the protection of the Imperium. But you were taken from me. Only you returned. But by that time, I had already needed to begin new plans."
"Taken?" I asked. "Taken by whom?" "How could any hostile actor penetrate the Imperial Palace?"
"By an enemy, the nature of which I do not truly know," my father said. "What is important is that you are here now,
And these? He gestured past me at the gestation cylinders and the Legionis Astartes within them. Are in a sense the children of you and your lost brothers, in the same sense as you are my children.
I looked again at the cavern. They share our genetic material?
They do, my father said. There will be 20 legions, one in each of your images. Yours will be the 20th. They shall be my finest warriors.
He paused, breathed deeply.
And they shall know no fear.
You may wonder why I accepted without question that explanation of how my siblings and I were lost. It wasn't even really an explanation, was it? But remember what I said about how my father's word is not just law but truth? If he tells you that something is not important, I defy you to argue with him. I don't even know if he does it deliberately. That is a lie. I know that he sometimes does it deliberately. I am sure all my brothers have had similar questions about how they came to be where they ended up. I strongly doubt any got an answer more detailed than I did. I have noticed that, over time, I have become more able to hold my own thoughts against the tidal wave that is my father's will. Perhaps my brothers have experienced the same. Perhaps one day we will discover the truth, although I wouldn't count on it. It is interesting, however, that we can have desires contrary to those of our father. Contrast that with, for example, Constantine Valdor. He is my father's greatest champion, and is perhaps to the Legio Custodes what my brothers and I are to the Legiones Astartes, at least in some sense. Valdor, I have come to suspect, is incapable of not doing as my father wishes. I think it is encoded, somehow, into his very DNA, as some part of the process that turned him from whatever he was before into whatever, exactly, he is now. And yet my brothers and I can go against the Emperor's wishes even when we do not intend to. If you don't believe me, go to Monarchia. But Lorgar's folly aside, I wonder to this day what this means. Is Valdor's ingrained obedience an accident? Is it something my father could not reproduce in us? And assuredly, the process must have been different. He has, after all, never called Valdor his son. Was this a failure on his part, or in the process of our creation? Or did he intentionally leave us with this freedom of thought and of will? If so, is this a test? Then I think of the purpose I was given. To protect the Imperium, without guidance, if necessary. And I wonder, did my father foresee a day when he would no longer be here to guide us, and so his will could not be known? Did he even perhaps foresee a day when we, his creations, might surpass him in wisdom, and so his will should no longer be adhered to? I do not know the answer, but I relish neither of those prospects.